Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital, joins us. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Welcome again, Doctor. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you today?
Well, I was listening to those jokes. Fine, thank you. And one joke was about hiking, and one was about being mad at the scale. If people wanted to lose weight and, you know, generally be healthier, is there like one single thing you wish people would do or would recommend that people do?
I recommend all the time, John. It's not easy for most people. And, you know, it's get more physical activity and eat less, right? I mean, that's, for most people, not everybody, but for most people, that will work. But to talk about how to get in fewer calories and feel comfortable about that and then increase physical activity, literally to burn off more calories, that's a lot easier said than done for most people. But that works if people really do it.
You know, unrelated to that, I guess, but I was thinking about trying to live a healthier life and monitoring everything that I do. And the one thing I'm trying to do lately is drink more water. I wonder if people would improve their lot if we all just were more cognizant of that.
I think most people, John, drink enough water. You know, there's no question if you drink a little bit more water, it will keep you from feeling as hungry, maybe, right, by filling your stomach. The water is going to be expelled from the stomach and absorbed pretty quickly. But that does work for some people. But people, for the most part, get enough fluids in, despite what we might sometimes see. I don't know that is like a key to really good health. The same way that not smoking and being judicious about how we eat and getting physical activity, that those things really do make a difference.
Yeah, I want to drink more water. That's what I want to do.
If it works for you, Mr. Williams, please drink more water.
My thing's a lot easier to do. Although, just speaking of the water moving its way through the system, do you know, I was thinking about this the other day, Doctor. This is a stupid question, then I'll move on to the serious part of this conversation. But I wonder what the travel time is between top to bottom. If I consume something, how long before it gets all the way through? Do you have any idea what that is?
So if we're talking about fluids, it depends what else is going on in your stomach. So like if you've had a big meal, particularly a fatty meal, and you have a big glass of water, it's going to take longer for the water to work its way through your system just because your stomach is going to be holding on to the material that you consumed longer. But let's say that's not the case. You just have water. It's going to be absorbed very quickly. It's going to get into your system. And depending on your hydration status, if you're well hydrated, your kidneys will be making more urine almost immediately as that water is being absorbed into your system.
I was told, I forget where I heard it, but if you are trying to drink more water, not to lose weight necessarily, but just general hydration and health, that you should take smaller quantities more often so as not to run the water through you very quickly, give your body time to absorb it and benefit from it. Does that make sense?
You know, our bodies have a wonderful physiologic system for being able to deal with fluids. So the issue is just getting enough fluids in. And beyond that, the body will take care of the rest. It's really pretty amazing. There's no question that there's certain people who feel better when they take smaller quantities of water more frequently. But people shouldn't worry so much about hydration status as long as they're drinking normal amounts, because our bodies really do have this exquisite physiology to take care of the proper hydration status. It's magnificent, actually. We take it for granted and it's fine, but boy, that's one of the reasons why we can live the lives that we do.
So I saw an article that was talking about allergy season and the cold and how you can tell the difference, because some of the symptoms are similar. I guess I should care. I mean, I presume it's different treatment plans. Do you have any advice for us generally about that, doctor?
So I think if somebody just has sniffles, maybe a little sore throat, their sinuses are getting congested, but they don't feel like really sick, like flu-y, this time of year with the amount of pollen that we have in the air, it's probably an allergy. If somebody feels really sick and achy and that viral flu feeling that we all know, even if someone had been suffering from allergies, but now they have those symptoms, there's a good chance that it's a viral infection of some kind. It's a cold, and they're going to feel that way for a couple of days, and then they can just deal with their allergy symptoms afterwards.
I saw another story, pregnancy complications linked to increased risk of early death. Even decades later, pregnancy complications linked to increased risk of early death, even decades later. I don't know if you saw that. It was on CNN, but you would think that there wouldn't be any linkage, particularly if there was a considerable amount of time. This sort of assumes that there is.
So what they found, and a lot of this has been known for a long time, but this was a very large study that was done. I believe it was a database of patient outcomes from Sweden and some from the United States. And women who have things like gestational diabetes, when they get diabetes when they're pregnant, and then that goes away after they're done being pregnant, or eclampsia or preeclampsia, blood pressure problems during their pregnancy, according to this study, and again, like I said, we've known this, those women need to be really careful as they get older, because it turns out that the preeclampsia, the gestational diabetes, could actually be a sign that in later age, those women are going to have cardiovascular problems.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the reason that this study showed that these women had a higher death rate in an earlier age than women who did not have those pregnancy complications. So the bottom line here is, for women who do have those pregnancy complications, they really need to be meticulous about their health going forward. A lot of this has to do with excess weight. So women who are overweight who are pregnant can develop gestational diabetes, eclampsia, blood pressure problems at higher rates than women who are not overweight. So it's important that women who do have pregnancy complications make sure that after they're done with their pregnancy, they get good ongoing medical care just to keep an eye on, and that they take really good care of themselves to head off the potential of a complication later.
But you're not saying it's causal, are you? That is, if I tend to get pregnant later in life, is that going to cause maybe the conditions under which I might suffer an earlier death?
No, I don't think it's causal, Jen, and I don't think that's what this study is showing. I think what it shows is that these complications in many women, not all, but in many women, indicate that there is an underlying health problem that needs to be tended to. And if that, and that underlying health problem is brought out by the pregnancy. If that woman, though, becomes really meticulous about her health, gets regular ongoing medical care, those things can be overcome, and that woman should live a normal lifespan like someone who did not have the pregnancy complication.
Hey, doctor, listen to this. My urologist says to drink plenty of water. My cardiologist says to limit my fluid intake. I just smile and nod at them both. And this one says, please ask Dr. Copin if you can get allergies after never having them. I'm 61 years old. I think that's what was behind that question a little while ago, doctor. How can you tell the difference between a cold and allergies? If I've never had them before, could I be getting them for the first time now?
Yes. As people get older, it is possible to start to experience seasonal allergies. And that has to do with changes in our immune systems as we get older. So that is pretty common, by the way. So our 61-year-old listener, I'm not saying you've gotten old, but you do have a 61-year-old immune system. So yes, it is possible to be experiencing allergies at this time. And John, the comment of our listener about the urologist and the cardiologist giving opposing advice, that happens a lot. You know, I could see a urologist saying, I want you to drink a lot of water. Let's say that person had a problem with kidney stones, so lots of fluid will help that person avoid future kidney stones. But let's say there's also a little bit of heart failure where fluid intake needs to be limited. So that's that push-pull that we physicians have to always be talking about with our patients when patients have multiple medical issues going in.
Hmm. You know, I'm thinking about the person who at 61 is maybe getting allergies for the first time now. I thought that if you got to certain ages and never got certain things, then you would never get them, that window had closed. I've thought about that about cancers or other kinds of illnesses, diseases. If it didn't get you by the age of 40 or 50, you're probably not going to get it. Is there any truth to that? Is there ages after which you've reached that if you haven't gotten this disease, you're not going to get it? Don't worry about that one anymore?
But other than certain pediatric diseases, particularly some pediatric cancers, most diseases occur with greater frequency and incidence as people get older. So there are very few things that I can think of, John, that you could say, hey, I just reached 60 and I'm not going to get this. No, unfortunately, it's not going to work like that.
Well, I was thinking of cystic fibrosis. I mean, no, there's no. I was comforting myself as I got older, Doc, that I hadn't come down with some of these things, and I probably won't now.
Yeah, well, you're right. There are certain things. It would be unusual to get cystic fibrosis after the age of 60. But I could give you a whole list of other lung diseases that it would be possible to get after the age of 60 that it's unlikely to get before the age of 60. And that's why as we get older, getting regular health care is really, really important so we can figure out what's going on as early as possible so people don't wind up getting advanced cases of things we can treat.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern's Lake Forest Hospital. Okay, Doc, always very helpful. Always nice to hear your voice. I'm glad you join us on Tuesdays.
It's my pleasure, John, and I look forward to talking to you next week.